This is Kathy Humbarger, and joining us in the studio for today's program is Dr. James Lamb, the Executive Director of the National Lutherans for Life organization. Welcome, Dr. Lamb. We're so glad that you took time out of your day to join us.
Oh, thank you very much, Kathy. I felt welcome in my trip here to Fort Wayne, and I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you and your listeners.
Well, we're certainly glad to have you. Let's jump right in by beginning with an explanation of what Lutherans for Life is all about. What's your mission and how do you set about accomplishing it?
Well, the best way to describe Lutherans for Life, I think, is the way I do it when I'm talking to the little children. And I tell them if they want to understand Lutherans for Life, they need to know our middle name. We're Lutherans for Life. So our middle name is For. And that's how we see ourselves. I remember one time somebody asked me what I did, and I said, well, I'm with Lutherans for Life. And they said, oh, you're that anti-abortion group in the church. Well, yes, we're opposed to abortion, but we don't like to see ourselves as anti, but rather for life. And the reason we're for life is because God is. And so our mission is to witness to the sanctity of human life through education based on the Word of God. So we're out to change people's hearts and minds on these issues. Our target audience is really the Christian community, and particularly Lutherans, since we are Lutherans for life. And so the only thing that can change the heart is the Word of God and the Spirit as He works through that.
Well, you brought up an interesting point as you were explaining what you're about, and that is the comment that you received about being anti-abortion, which we're all labeled that quite often. But Lutherans for Life is about more than abortion and being for supporting women in crisis pregnancies. There are innocent lives across the continuum of the lifespan that need to have a voice. And I know that Lutherans for Life is very active in that entire lifespan. Tell us a little bit about some of the other areas other than the abortion issue.
Certainly. You know, when Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and in Matthew 18, he talks about children and having childlike faith and those kinds of things. And really, in the ancient times, children were seen as those who were vulnerable, those who were completely dependent upon others. And so when we talk about being for the life of children, we're really talking about being for the lives of all those who are vulnerable, all those who need us to defend them and protect them. So that starts with the very tiniest of human beings. We have little embryos, little boy and girl embryos that need to be defended and protected in the whole area of embryonic stem cell research.
Right.
And so Lutherans for Life produces word-based materials that address that issues. Obviously, we're for the lives of the unborn, but we're also for the lives of that pregnant teen. And we provide materials to help her, to support her, to help others help her. And we're for the lives of those who have made that abortion decision and are now trapped in the darkness of their sin and their guilt and that regret. And that's such a pervasive thing out there. So we have an entire ministry that's devoted to post-abortion. It's called Word of Hope. And that's an 800 hotline, national number people can call, and they'll be put in touch with a professional counselor in the Chicago area, actually. And we get about 300 calls a month on that hotline. So we're for those lives, and we want to bring to them the forgiveness that we have in Christ and the hope and the healing and the ongoing support that is there. We're for the lives of those who are dealing with chronic illnesses and chronic diseases. We live in a society that's, you know, pushes them to death for rescue through assisted suicide and euthanasia. We're for the lives of our elderly who are dealing with end-of-life issues. And so we produce materials that address decision-making as a Christian, that address things like advanced directives, you know, living wills and power of attorney and all of those kinds of things. So, yeah, we're for life, all life, from the very beginning to the very end.
Well, Dr. Lamb, you've referred several times to educational materials and support information. I'm certain you have a website. Where can folks go to access the materials that you just described?
Yes, our website is lutheransforlife.org.
Very simple.
Very simple. Just type all those words out, Lutherans for Life, all run together.org.
Great. You have an incredible gift of relating to and ministering to and making the life issue clear to pastors. Just yesterday, I was in attendance when you met with several pastors, and you just do a tremendous job of not condemning, not criticizing, but helping them understand their important role. I know you were addressing Lutheran pastors yesterday, but I don't think this is unique to the Lutheran Church. I think there are many pastors who certainly in their hearts are pro-life, but struggle with some issues that might make it difficult for them to speak out. Let's just take a moment to review the 3 points that you mentioned to the pastors yesterday and address those, the concerns that pastors have when they consider addressing life in their congregations and from their pulpits. I think you did it in the David Letterman style and started with number 3, so let's do that again today. As I recall, based on a study that was done, the 3rd reason on the list that pastors are reluctant to share information about abortion and the morality of that is because they're afraid they will offend women in their congregations that have made an abortion decision. Respond to that, if you would, please.
Yes, it is a common fear that I not only showed up in this survey, but I also hear it as mm-hmm. I travel around across the country and get into Lutheran congregations, speak to a lot of Lutheran pastors. There might be a woman out there who's had an abortion. I just don't want to offend her. Mm-hmm. And I can understand that. It's a compassionate pastoral kind of feeling. However, if you think it through, we have, as Christians, the most powerful message of healing and hope there is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And really, it's the only message that can help a woman who's, or man, who's struggling with a post-abortion issue, because nothing else offers the kind of complete cleansing and healing and hope that the gospel does. So to have that message and then not share it with those who are struggling in this way and apply it to them and preach it into their hearts and their lives, to me, that's a greater offense than just being silent about it.
Well, I know you know many women, as do I, who have made an abortion decision. And oftentimes when they're trapped in this prison of regret and grief and remorse, they think that they've committed the unforgivable sin. And that almost reinforces it when they don't hear about it in church. This sin must be so bad that we can hear about everything else, but not about this.
Oh, exactly. I mean, Satan loves this because it helps him proclaim his favorite line, "Did God really say?" That's how he started everything in the Garden of Eden. He's been using that line ever since. And so the abortion issue, he gets 2 chances to use it. You see, he can say to the woman who's struggling with a crisis pregnancy, "Well, did God really say abortion is wrong? Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't hear about it in church, do you?" And then they go and have the abortion, and Satan turns on him and he says, "Did God really say you can be forgiven for this sin?
Right.
Oh, you don't hear anything about it in church, do you?" So Satan loves that.
And exactly.
That's why we as pastors need to address this from the gospel perspective, not screaming and yelling, but from the gospel perspective.
Well, Dr. Lamb, I know that there have been well over 50 million abortions since the Roe versus Wade decision legalized abortion on demand in the country back in 1973. So it's quite likely that there's someone listening who's either had an abortion or knows someone who has or participated in that decision in some way. And I think this would be an appropriate place to remind them that this is not the unforgivable sin. There's healing at the foot of the cross where all of us as sinners can find healing and forgiveness, and the only place where we can. I would also encourage those of you who might be in this situation where your lives have been touched by abortion to understand that you do not need to stay in that prison of regret and remorse and guilt. Jesus wants to set you free, and he wants to do it today. Please know that there are folks who are ready and willing and eager to help you deal with the healing from an abortion decision. And there, as near as your phone, your local crisis pregnancy center most likely has a post-abortion recovery ministry. If not, or you don't know about your local center, please dial 1-800-395-HELP, 1-800-395-HELP. 1-800-395-HELP. That 800 number is staffed 24 hours a day, every day of the year, and there is a person that will answer. It's not an answering machine, but a person will respond and get you connected with free and confidential counseling and support to work through this. We need you on the team, and Jesus wants to set you free from that prison, and he wants to do it today. So I would encourage you to dial that number, 1-800-395-HELP. Well, Dr. Lamb, let's move on to the second item on the list of reasons that pastors are reluctant to speak about life issues, and that is that this is a political issue and that that has no place in the pulpit. Is abortion a political issue?
Oh, it certainly is a political issue. There's no question about that. And it has been politicized so heavily in our country. So it's political, it's controversial, it's divisive. You know, a pastor gets up and on a Life Sunday, I mean, right away, you have members even here that we're going to have a Life Sunday next Sunday, and the conversation starts. So there's an understandable fear there. But to say that they're just political issues, that's where the problem is, because they're not just political issues. We're talking about the destruction of human life. We're talking about hurting lives. We're talking about people who are dealing with very, very difficult situations, and they're living in the midst of a society that is pushing them and pointing them to death to rescue them.
Right.
And death is becoming more than just our friend in our society. Death is quickly becoming our God. Martin Luther once said that anything we turn to for more help and more hope than the true God, that becomes our God. That becomes our idol. And people, Christians, are turning to the God of death because that's where society is pointing them.
Well, we hear so often the phrase, the right to die. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about. I appreciate our friend, Father Frank Pavone's comment on that. And he said, let me assure you, none of us are going to miss our right to die. So that's, again, a bit of a misnomer on that whole end of life issue that we were talking about previously. But let's look at the number one issue, the number one reason that pastors give for not speaking about life from the pulpit, and that is that they are called by God to preach the gospel and not get involved in social issues.
Well, it's amazing to me that we've made that disconnection between the message of the gospel and the things that people are dealing with in their lives. You know, this evening I'm speaking to seminarians at Concordia Theological Seminary here in Fort Wayne, and the topic title is Matters of the Heart, and that when we proclaim God's word, we're not just to spew nice-sounding words into the air, but we're to take aim in our preaching. We're to preach it into people's lives, into people's hearts. The Hebrew word for heart means the very core, the very center of someone's being, their very soul. And the life issues, those are issues that touch people's souls. And therefore, we are compelled to address them. And we have the most powerful and positive message in the world to do that, and that's the gospel. So we want to help pastors rather avoid these issues, to see the connection between these issues and that message of the gospel. And it's the gospel, really, that is the only message that can make a real and lasting difference in people's lives when we apply it to them.
And I know that Lutherans for Life has an extensive array of resources for pastors, and I'm certain that they are applicable in other denominations as well as the Lutheran denomination. So give us that website again. I know there's a lot of information there for lay people, but a wealth of information for pastors as well.
Yes, we're at lutheransforlife.org, lutheransforlife.org.
This is Kathy Humbarger in the studio, and our very special guest is Dr. James Lamb, Executive Director of the National Lutherans for Life Ministry. We are so glad that he's with us and chatting about the life issue. Now, we've been talking about life issues in the context of the church, Dr. Lamb. Let's turn a corner here and talk a little bit about some of the life news that we've been hearing about. And as we said, there is a political aspect to this, and I'm certain that most of our listeners have heard about the debate over the healthcare reform that recently was passed and signed into law. What's your opinion of the impact of that piece of legislation on abortion, end-of-life issues, all those things that we hold dear?
Well, it's going to have an impact because there are aspects of the law that will allow for funding of abortions in various ways to do that. And we also know that, you know, the president signed this executive order supposedly to ban funding, but there's all kinds of speculation about whether that will really do it, whether an executive order can't trump law, and mm-hmm. this is the law. So mm-hmm. there's certainly question about that. So it appears that the abortion funding will be there. And I think the other fear probably is not talked about as much, and that is the whole idea of panels making decisions about healthcare funds and where they go and how this is going to affect end-of-life issues mm-hmm. and people who are struggling and needing treatment that may be denied coverage for that treatment because of the nature of their disease or because of their age, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And I have a real fear that that's going to drive the assisted suicide and euthanasia movement. I remember mm-hmm. Derek Humphrey once said, Derek Humphrey is the founder of the Hemlock Society. That's the pro-death movement mm-hmm. in our country. They changed their name, by the way. They're now Compassion and Choices.
Oh, I suppose Hemlock was maybe a little too harsh. And
yeah, they had a big study done, and they said, well, you got to change your name.
Yeah, and marketing and branding, right?
That's exactly
so,
right.
So what do you have to say?
Humphrey said that it's the economy more than anything else that will drive assisted suicide legislation. And for once, I had to agree with Derek Humphrey.
Well, I think I read somewhere where the scoring for who's going to get health care and who isn't, based on a whole list of things, age and quality of life and some of those factors, will identify some as being negative economic units. Have we come to that?
I think we're pretty much there. Mm-hmm. And a national health care will certainly accentuate that and provide means for that to be emphasized more and more.
One press release that I saw recently, and I think this came out of Iowa, you may or may not be aware of it, is the new plan for dispensing chemical abortion medications that's called TeleMed. Are
yes.
you familiar with
yes.
that? Tell our listeners a little bit about what that is and why we should be concerned.
Well, TeleMed is offering a video, a DVD of a physician giving advice to a woman on how to administer these two very powerful drugs that are a part of the whole RU-46 package, the abortion drug package, and they can simply watch it in their home, and there's no need then for an office visit wow. for that personal contact with a physician. I can't imagine what the uproar would be if we would use that same kind of format with any other kind of drug or treatment that's out there. With this, it's very dangerous.
Well, and I understand that the manufacturers and even the FDA have given strict guidelines as to how this is to be administered. And if somebody's watching a DVD in their home, there's no way to know that they are complying with the very narrow window of time in early pregnancy or competent to deal with the complications, and there are many. So this is very, very scary. It's very dangerous, and I would encourage our listeners to understand that if they hear about TeleMed abortions, that the red flag should go up. I understand that Planned Parenthood has recently stated that a full 25% of all their abortions now are chemical abortions, which is what we're talking about. I anticipate that's going to be on the increase. So we need to be vigilant and looking for ways to intervene, put restrictions on, or in some way negate this horrible new way of killing babies and injuring mothers.
Yes, these are very dangerous drugs physically. And the other thing involved in here that we don't talk about as much is the impact on women, because now they not only have participated in a choice that kills their own child, but they actually become the abortionist in this.
Right. And their home becomes the abortion facility.
Yes. And mm-hmm. and that just, when that reality strikes, and it almost always does.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes years later.
Yes. I understand that the average actually is 9 years after the abortion. So it's just devastating.
It is. Well, thank you so much for bringing us up to date on what's going on with Lutherans for Life and commenting on some of the hot issues that are in the news. We appreciate so much your perspective. Thank you for what you do. I'm going to encourage our listeners to log on to your website. That's LutheransForLife.org. Yep. LutheransForLife.org. There's more information there than we have the time to share with you today, but I think you will find it very helpful. Also, if you're in a crisis pregnancy, know someone who is, or have experienced an abortion in your past, and you just need someone to come alongside you, please dial that 800 number, 1-800-395-HELP, for someone on the other end of the line with a compassionate ear who will direct you to someone in your own neighborhood who can help you with the things you're struggling with. Dr. Lamb, any comments that you'd like to share with our listeners before we close?
Well, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners, and I invite them to visit our site, use our materials, give us a call. We visit with people and give advice over the phone. Our toll-free number is 888-364-LIFE, 364-LIFE. The easy way to remember that number is that there were 36 authors that God used to author the Bible, and every one of them was for life. So 36 for life. We exist to help Lutherans, to help Christians apply the Word of God to these issues.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lamb, and God's blessings on you as you travel the country. We'll have you back soon for an update, and thank you to our listeners for tuning our way. We hope that the information that you heard today was helpful. Please join us again next week, and God bless you as you stand where He has put you for life.
You've been listening to I Choose Life Radio Magazine. If you have questions about this program or if you'd like to support the fight for life, please call Allen County Right to Life at 471-1849 or go to ichooselife.org, because without the right to life, no other rights matter.